Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Can you say your full name and your ADC number if you remember it?
Oh, I remember. Mukhtar Naji, 039674. I remember my military number too.
I was going to say, I managed to remember my RA number.
RA 139369.
Yeah, just before they went to the Union Search. Do you prefer just Mr. Naji?
Yeah, Naji's fine. It's easier for everybody to refer to him as Naji.
But I hate to butcher people's names, you know. I've got one of those hard ones too, you know.
Really?
Me and Dan Hill. Well, one of the things that we have to butcher, just. Okay, sir. We're coming to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to, I believe, it's, we're looking at empty discharge. So you've come a long ways. I'm going to introduce the board members. I will probably bring up everybody's name.
Yes.
By now. Okay, you're far left. Honorable Michael Johnson. The Honorable Bill Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is the board chairman. And to my left, your right, is the Honorable Louis Norris. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead today. So I'm going to go over a little bit of information here. And if I misspeak something, let me know. We'll get it straightened out. So you're 71 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just a young guy.
Yep.
All right. You're on parole.
Yes.
For the last sentence that you were serving was the last of four. It was a 10.5 year sentence.
14.
Okay, yeah, so it was. There were several sentences in the row, and we've gotten to into the last one where he was released on home arrest and then the parole.
Absolutely.
Okay, I got the 10.5 year one. You were serving a 10.5 year sentence and you escaped from Fort Grant or went AWOL anyway. With two other inmates, you kidnapped subject and stole the truck and other items. Had to drive out of state, but as a result, you received, after appeal, 8 sentences to run consecutively to your original sentence. These sentences totaled 48 years. And Mr. Naji was on your last sentence when he was granted home arrest on January 16, 2018, and another parole on August 7, 2018. You currently have an ESD of May 20th, 2019.
Yep.
So one way or the other, not going to be long. So that's 3 months away.
Yep.
Do your appeal and planned on being here today?
He texted me and said he'd be responding telephonically.
Okay.
Mr. Pope, Patrick Pope.
Do you know, can you find his number for us?
Yes, sir. Pulling it up right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we have somebody else who wanted to call in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because our witnesses, we have the meetings all day today and they couldn't make it.
They want to call
602
513 3540. 3540?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I'm going to do this one and then Mr. Johnson will do the other one.
We have some technology issues here.
Oh, believe me, that was the hardest thing for me to get you. Technology.
Yeah.
When I went in, it was like, we were calling for an airstrike.
Big break.
upgraded and...
It's frustrating, though.
Yes, sir. The Arizona Board of Executive Clemens Sabre is here with Mr. Elijah, and we understand that you want to participate in his hearing today by way of phone. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you can just hold on, we need to tie another one in, and then we will move forward again, sir. You have that number?
Okay.
Oh, yes, sir. 480-612-5942.
Sir, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand that you wanted to be on the line for the parole hearing for Mr. Najim.
Absolutely, I do, and I really appreciate the call. We've been hoping someone might reach out.
Sir,
let me get to a place where I can talk.
Okay, well,
give me a few seconds, please.
Yeah, just hold on, because Mr. Neal's going to be conducting the hearing. I want to make sure one more person is tied in on the line, okay?
Okay.
But okay.
Parole officer Polk, are you still there, sir?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I think everybody's here. And so you're there also, Mr. Joe?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, well, the next question we hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Neal, who will be conducting this hearing.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay, we just went over a few of the details of Mr. Najim's past, and we're working up to the point that we want to hear about his present and how fantastically wonderful he's doing out there. So I'm going to Mr. Najim decide who he's going to be. Top first, and everybody will get a chance to address the board. So just hang there on the phone for a couple minutes, and then we'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
Now, so we'll start out with you. How have you been doing?
I've been doing fantastically. I've had a couple hiccups because a couple days I'm just calling in the task. But I end up doing my way and it came back clean. You know, some ones you think you actually called and come to find out you didn't. So now I had to have a calendar and have a sanction for that, which I didn't mind because it was my fault. I couldn't blame them being busy or whatnot. But in my mind, I actually thought I called and come to find out that I didn't, you know. I checked my phone and said, and I had to call back and tell him, you know something, I didn't call him. I went down and did my UA, came back clean, as I knew it would. But other than that, those two hiccups, it was twice, and getting chewed out, which rightfully so. But everything else is going, you don't believe, I can't tell you how wonderful it is going. I'm involved with, with our company, a nonprofit that has a 71-year-old hiking the Triple Crown, and we partnered with AARP, so I've been on media blitz and doing a whole bunch of things and hoping to get a chance to hike with him myself, because we're both military. Been working hard. I went to the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers luncheon and got a chance to talk with a lot of people, network with them, other nonprofits, feeding the homeless, making sure that we get enough information for reentry and people who are coming out, that we have a place for them to go, for them to get food, clothing, shelter, those type of things. So I promised the guys inside that that's what I was going to do, and I'm kept my promise.
So was it a big relief to get the ankle bracelet off?
I got it put back on as a sanction, which was, you know, just to make sure that I'm in at 10, which I didn't mind because, you know, like I was telling my son, sometimes, you know, when you make mistakes, you have to pay for it. And I don't mind. That's why I didn't mind for the 40 years I was inside. I owed the debt, and I was going to pay it. And I believe I paid it. So I'm not going to whine and cry about any type of sanction or whatnot. You know, it was my fault. I owned up to it and move on.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't see a revocation hearing, so...
Because the supervisor said, you know, it's because of how good I was doing and the fact that all my UAs are clean, which they always will be clean because I don't smoke, drink, or use narcotics, so...
Right. Well,
that's why I'm in shape. I'm in this every morning.
Yeah, the people are, you know, from what we see, they work really hard trying not to put people back in, trying to keep them out. And too many inmates don't understand that. So when they get in trouble, they take it like a personal jab, not that they did something wrong. And so when you got a good attitude, and that helps, when you get sanctioned, that helps keep sanctions low.
Well, I mentor other people too, and you know, a lot of times we have a tendency, like you said, to take it personal. And if you're going to take it personal, put it on yourself. You know, I never like people who play the victim. You know what I mean? You know, there's no victims. I say there's no victims, just volunteers. All right, so that's the way I feel about that.
Any boarders have any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
So, sir, it looks like you moved.
Yeah, I moved with my ex-wife and my daughter.
But is Gold Canyon, Hartman, really at Gold Canyon?
Well, are you talking about, no, we have offices on...
Oh, okay, I was going to say, that's a long, yeah.
We have offices on 24th Street and University.
Okay, good, I'm glad to hear that. I thought, what is he doing? Driving all that way. I know I've been driven out to Gold Canyon, and it's a long way.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Okay, then I just want to also mention about your fees. Are you planning to bring your fees?
My fees can be paid up within the next couple of days.
Okay, so we'll all be good on that.
Yeah, we've already talked about that.
They okay, good. All right, thank you.
Mr. Dow? So, Ms. Rittenhouse said that you had moved, that you were staying with your son, right?
Yeah, now I'm living with his my ex-wife and my daughter, trying to build a relationship. Well, you know, I'm trying to build a relationship with my daughter and whatnot. It's been good. You know, they need the assistance. My ex-wife has congestive heart failure, so I get a chance to help out and relieve her because my daughter's going to college and she's working, so I get a chance to take her to work and pick her up because she gets off at 8 o'clock at night. And you know, things that I should have been doing while I was inside, I get a chance to do now, and I kind of like it.
Do you have grandkids?
I got so many grandkids, man, I don't even... I have 7 boys, so you can imagine how many grandkids I have. I have 3 daughters, and only one of them has a child. So, yeah, I got a lot of grandchildren, about 27 of them.
I have 7 boys.
Yeah.
Just got to make sure that they start taking care of you.
Well, you know something, the good thing about my children and my grandchildren, I let them all know, I did enough time for everybody, so none of them better ever end up in trouble. You know, and so far, so good.
So, I'm going to ask that because I marked on here about your late fee. So why are you so far behind?
You know something? I don't have a good answer for that. A lot of times I've been paying my other bills and just forgot to pay them. But I was talking to my partner. I said, you know something, I asked Mr. Polk, I said, how much do I owe for my parole fees? And he sent me a number, so I had to pay them. I expected I wouldn't be released unless I paid these fees. So I will pay the fees, trust me.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Dale.
Exactly, what can you do? I mean, you're doing a good job, your employment, you said it, you count down, you're going to be running up and down some way along. So what do you do, sir?
I'm the outreach coordinator and veterans liaison for Gold Candy Heart and Home. And basically, at this point, since my partner is heading up the other aspect of it, I'm actually running Gold Candy Heart and Home.
What do y'all do?
Re-entry, our main thing is mentorship, sponsorship for those coming out of prison, at-risk women and veterans, and for elderly. So what we're doing with the 71-year-old, partnering with AARP, is what we're doing is disrupting the age model. This is what we're calling it, disrupting the age model, by having a 71-year-old do the triple crown within the calendar year. No one has ever done it at this age.
And how does it feel working with, I don't know what to call them, but former inmates? How does that feel? How does that feel working with, you know, people who've been incarcerated?
For me, it's like giving back. I facilitated classes while I was in. I taught school. I was a TA. I taught school. I was in GED math. Because that was the toughest thing for them to pass in order to get their GED. So I guaranteed if they joined my class, they would pass because I could relate to each one of them. For example, say somebody, they couldn't grasp fractions, but they sold dope for a living. And I'd ask them how many ounces in a bird or something like that. You know, so it's about being able to relate to their situation and teaching them on that level. I taught. I would use dice to teach them what are the options. You know, here's a dice. What are the chances I'm going to throw an odd number as opposed to an even number? So they would catch on quickly. So dealing with them and being through the system, I think I can lend more of them, more to them by letting them know that own up to your own shortcomings and idiosyncrasies and just become better. My parents died while I was in, and I promised my mother before she died that she was going to be proud of me. And for my siblings to tell me that my parents would be proud of what I'm doing now means a whole lot to me. So. That's what I encourage those guys on the inside to do. And believe me, I have mothers and grandmothers who call me right and tell me that they appreciate what I'm doing for their sons that are inside.
Can I just ask one other question before Mr. Neal or someone else asks it? Somebody will ask it anyway. How do you think this board ought to move you to absolute discharge, sir?
One thing, it would give me the opportunity to move around and do just more than what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm kind of handcuffed to what I can do because I can only go so far. Like me and Mike Fagan, the guy who was hiking, like me and him in North Carolina and hiking with him and taking supplies and partnering up with AFC members in other states, you know what I mean, to reframe justice and make sure that these people coming out have the best chances of success when they come out. This is what I'm trying to do. And I can do it better if I have unconditional release.
Thank you, sir. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Dr. Blake. Thank you, sir. So, I think now would be the time for your supporters. Who would you like to speak first?
Whoever would like to speak first. You know, they tell me what to do, so.
Okay.
Uh-oh, here we go.
He's the youngster.
Yeah. My name is Jameson Allman. I moved to Arizona from Pennsylvania about 9 months ago, and ever since then I've been working with Najee pretty much Monday through Friday And it's been an honor and a pleasure to meet someone with as much life experience as he's had. Since meeting him, he's been like a mentor to me, and I look forward to continuing working with him.
Anybody have a question for you?
Oh,
just go
any questions?
Away
from
the home.
Sorry.
Perfect. Where did you move from in Pennsylvania, may I ask?
Easton, the Lehigh Valley area, about an hour north of Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Crayola is?
Crayola, yes.
Yeah, it's right
in downtown Easton there.
Thank you. So what do you do for the program, sir?
I'm the Assistant Development Director at GCHH. I do a lot of the social media aspects for our Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. I work a lot on the logistics part of Michael Fagan and his Triple Crown hike that he's doing. He's over on the East Coast right now, and I handle a lot of the like supplies, what needs to go out, when it has to go out to, and where should we send it along his trail so that he gets it in a timely manner and he can continue with his hike and his journey and what he's trying to do with the age disrupting.
So why do you call it? I'll ask Mr. Nagy. Go ahead. Okay, thank you, sir.
That's it. That's all. Anything else?
No questions except each 10.
Well, my name is Michael Avedo. I think I've spoken to you guys before. Probably, I don't know if you remember me. Probably, maybe not. But I've known Najee now for 11 years when I used to work at DOC. He's actually being pretty modest. A lot of the things he didn't tell you that he does, and he's very humble. And actually, Jameson does this too. Every Friday, they pass out food to the homeless people around certain areas of Phoenix. We target areas and other charities, you know. He's been doing that a lot, and we just recently been putting that on social media because even though he's been doing it for a long time, he's too humble to, like, you know, he doesn't, you know, how else are we going to get a message out there about what we do, but, you know, obviously what Naja does, you know, what the rest of us do, unless we put it on social media because that's how everybody's getting their news nowadays. So he just, we started putting it back on, you know, so if you ever go on our Facebook or Instagram or Twitter page, you'll see pictures of what we do, but also you'll see pictures of Najee posted some of the functions that he does, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to speak. I actually, you know, he was mentioning some of the hiccups he's had, and even though, you know, he's obviously accepted responsibility for it, but at the same time, and, you know, whatever decisions are made, you know, nobody questions the wisdom of the board or anything, but I just, inside, I felt a little bit of guilt because being that, you know, where he was, he didn't really have access to the technology and stuff. And so in the last, you know, since he's been out, I feel like I probably should have trained him a lot more on how everybody communicates. I mean, you know, we call each other, you know, whether you're calling your mom, your sister, your coworker, you know, the boss, we just seem to communicate so much more frequently. And nothing, you know, back when Najee went in, they used to communicate by carrier pigeon, you know, so that's what I used to tell them. So it's been hard for him to adapt to this fast-paced world that we live in. And, you know, we have a good sense of humor on the job. So so I take it upon myself because, you know, I feel like maybe I should, if there was a way I could have helped him out more to be more organized. You know, when it comes to certain aspects, he might not have had these hiccups. So I took it upon myself. I felt like it was partially on me, even though I know that's not true. He's taking on responsibility. But as a mentor, he's mentoring everybody else. Who's mentoring the mentor? You know, and that's where I took, you know, I gave myself, you know, a little bit of a gift. So I wanted you to know that, but you know, he's more than just a spiritual leader, a mentor of people. He's also an emo, you know. He's very active in his, you know, in his religious community. Here's some of the things that I just wrote down when I was waiting up out there. he's been hiking, well, I mean, he's been hiking, he's been working on the I-Hike, you should hear about, but also he's been hiking himself down here at the Capitol in support of HB 2270, you guys probably aware of that one, you know. He's actually on social media at some of the events. He goes to lunch with the American Defense Lawyers Association. He's been out there with, he actually runs the whole homeless, feeding the homeless program that we have. And whether it's picking up the supplies, picking up the food, organizing it, and even taking it out. So, he drags us out there every Friday morning, to try to do that. And if nobody can go, he's out there doing it himself. So, some of the other things I've kind of, doing is, he's writing correspondence letters, and this is absolutely true. He's writing correspondence letters about these different bills to, Martha McSally. I think he's got a response back from the office anyway. And also Representative Gallego, Kirsten Sinema, the other senator. We've taught him how to get on the internet and do all this, stuff. So he's writing letters, and nobody said, he never heard the word that he can't do it, can't write a senator. He does. He didn't see any reason why he couldn't, right? So, here's the thing. This guy, has been bombarded with all this technology, the fast pace of our world. It's hard for him to keep up. And, like you said, he's going to take whatever hiccups he's had, like the gentleman he is. But just so that I think some of the members of this organization, we're kind of like taking it upon ourselves to, we in turn need to mentor on these things that he's missed out on for the last 4 years. And it is a fast-paced world. There's a lot to keep track of. And he's so worried about everybody else that he tends to forget about himself. And so, with that, those kind of things, he's too humble to mention. So I figured I'd be the one that would show up. So if you guys have any questions, any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, is Mr. Jones on the phone? Is that
Joe? What's your friend, Joe?
Sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Would you like to address the board?
Oh, yes, I would. First of all, I'd like to say hello to all of you again. I'm still here there in person.
Sir, would you state your name first?
Joseph Chapetta Jr.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm the lead project development specialist with Gold Canyon Heart Home. And currently I'm the crew chief for the I Hike with Mike project, which means I've actually been out there hiking with them and dealing with the liaisons with the AARP and a lot of other organizations supporting the age-disrupting and trail conservancy causes. I bring that up because if it weren't for Najee, we sort of partnered, we're two sides of the same coin when it comes to the advocacy that we do for ex-offenders. It's near and dear to our heart. And it hasn't been for Najee stepping up his role with the organization, both of the projects would have suffered because it's been we've been thrust into a whirlwind of activity on both ends, both with our outreach to support senior citizens and age disrupting all over the country, and with the current push to reduce recidivism spirited very heavily in our state right now with new legislation and the meetings. Najee was just featured in a documentary that you can look at on video. Reframing Justice Day, January 22nd. He's been speaking at so many events, many of them events I was supposed to go to and I couldn't attend because of my other responsibilities. I didn't even know he was in arrears because Najee is one of those guys who cares more about everyone else than the cause. And I'm ready to pull my credit card out and pay them myself. Just for services rendered to me personally. I'm not going to belabor what you've already heard, but I would like to say this. He is an example of what a lot of people talk about doing, and we have an old expression from the inside. People, they need to walk it like they're talking, and Najee's walk is nothing short of inspirational.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else have any questions? All right, thank you, sir. You're welcome to stay on the phone for the rest of the hearing.
Sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is that Mr. Neal?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Neal, I'm still trying to put it in the bottle. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know if you remember that conversation we had or not, but it's really nice talking to y'all again.
No, I'm sorry, I know, but my mind is loose these days anyway, so. Okay, Mr. Madden, is there anybody else you'd like to speak in behalf before we get with Officer Pogrom?
No, sir.
Okay, Officer Pogrom, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Neal.
All right, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So, could you give us a progress report on Mr. Madden?
Sure. He is currently residing with his ex-wife and their adult daughter. He's been there since probably the beginning of the month. He was living with his adult son in Mesa, but recently changed his address with permission. We've spoken on that on several occasions, and he said things are going really well. I've spoken with his ex-wife, and she's happy to have him there, and I know his adult daughter is also happy to have him there. And he, in our conversations, he has said that how much he's enjoyed going to go pick her up from work and taking her to school and things like that. So I think it's been a really good change for him. As far as his employment goes, he is working full time at Gold Canyon Heart and Home. He is doing some really incredible things there. Like I said, it's kind of unusual for a parole officer to give permission for somebody on supervision of any type to really have communications with people that are incarcerated. However, I think it goes without saying that Mukhtar Naji is doing really good things for their business and for the people that he does elect to provide his mentorship for. As he stated earlier, he just doesn't, take anybody under his wings. He has to make sure that they are serious about changing their life and doing good once they get out. Otherwise, he, as he told me, won't help them out because they won't help themselves out. So I think that's pretty commendable that he is involved in a program that's dedicated to help changing lives, and he certainly certainly on the right track to do that. I know he also does, when I go see him at the office, I think he is also has a title of office manager. You see, every time I go there, he shows me around, he introduces me to everybody, pretty much know everybody there at his office, and their business and the work they do there is certainly appreciated by, I know, by parole, because I wish there was more places that would give people an opportunity to do the things that they are doing there. As far as somebody needs a place to live, they'll recommend some places. They'll try to help with placements like that and help with employment. And they'll be employment resources and things like that. So having somebody in from his experience, the things that he's seen, the things he's done while in prison, I mean, it speaks a lot that they can have somebody who's, number one, and been there and done it, and that can help guide the people that come out so that need those resources to get them on their feet and in the direction they need to go. So, he's done some really good things at that place at Gold Canyon, and the people there are nothing but positive, and they're like a family there for him. I know I've seen it firsthand, and it's really a good place to, if you've never been down there, it's a really good place to go take a look at. I'm sure they love to have visitors come down, and they can give you the tour as well. As far as his UAs, I think he's been on, when he was on home arrest, he did 5 UA tests, which were all were negative, didn't have any missed. When he was placed on general parole, he has done 6 tests. He has had 3 missed UAs while on general parole. One was, he was given a verbal reprimand by me for one of them, and he was staffed with a supervisor on January 29th and also February 15th for missed UA tests. Not at any time did I think that he was intentionally trying to miss. I think it's probably based on a couple of things. I think maybe he was just, you know, just maybe a little absent-minded. I certainly don't think he was involved in any criminal activity or about to lapse into any criminal ways or anything of that nature. But just as precautionary, the supervisor did recommend that we put him on GPS monitoring for a period of 60 days. So he's been on GPS, although he's not required to be on GPS. So once he finished his home arrest supervision, of course, the general parole doesn't require you to be on a GPS monitor. However, he just went on about a week ago or so. So that's just kind of make sure that he remembers, because he did so well with the on home arrest with his UAs, you know, maybe that will help remind him to keep on task with that. So, but I certainly don't think he's lapsed. All his UA tests have been negative, even after we had him go down and do a UA after he missed his test, just to be sure that there's no illegal drugs or alcohol detected in the system, and there hasn't been. He is attending CHC classes as required for part of his programming. His counselor has reported he's done exceptional. In fact, they've actually liked him to speak to the other people in the classes because of his experience. And his, they've actually given him an outstanding, I guess, a report about, they just basically, I put in my progress report that they said that he has a very rare leadership quality, is able to connect with others easily in class just based on his life experiences. Like I said, he is very a rare kind of person that you come across. He certainly, I really sincerely believe with all my heart, he is dedicated to improving the quality of life for everybody else that he's around, and also dedicated to helping those people who come out of prison that, you know, don't have maybe the family support, don't have the things that, you know, that they need to help try to be successful. And if he's can tell that when they're serious or not, and I, like I said, if he determines they're not genuine in their desire to excel and succeed, he'll just tell them, hey, look, I can't do anything for you. You know, you need to make sure that you're on the right track before I can help you out. But the ones that he does help out, like I said, I mean, it does carry over and speaks volumes about what he can do for them. And like I said, his experience is everything. So, and like I said, with his, you know, he was locked up a very long time, and he does have the experience that, like I said, and the knowledge, and a lot of people know who he is, you know, because he's got that old DOC number, so they do understand, and they take his, what he tells them seriously. So that's been a really good thing. I guess the other issue is, from the full supervision part, is he is behind on the fees, and he has acknowledged that. He is paid a stipend for working at Gold Canyon Heart and Home. I don't believe he gets a regular paycheck for working there, but like I said, you know, he told me he was going to get his fees taken care of as soon as he can, and I really believe he will. He is just in arrears at this time. He hasn't had any contact with Phoenix PD or Mesa PD. I routinely can conduct records checks on all of my people on supervision. He hasn't had any contact, so he's not lapsing or hanging out with criminal elements or doing things he shouldn't be. So that's kind of a general synopsis of how he's doing. And I'm just from a supervision part, he's made my job pretty easy because every time I go see him, he's always at work at Gold Canyon trying to help people out. So he's a different kind of person. Which I'm thankful to have because it's I know where his heart is and I know where his goals are. So he's doing some really good things.
Okay, sir. How long did you say that sanction was for with the ankle monitor?
60 days.
60 days?
60 days from, I believe it was approximately, I think it came in, I have to double check my calendar, came in after he missed the most recent EA and with the supervisor, and they recommended 60 days. And that is, of course, always subject to change based on behavior or determination by a supervisor.
Okay. Is it something that, say, after 30 days, because he's behaving himself well or something, they might change their mind and shorten the sanction, or is it just one of those, once the 60 days is on, they might lengthen if he doesn't, if he does make more mistakes?
Right, so usually what happens is, that period of 30 days, sometimes we're in need of those GPS devices for different reasons, and if somebody's not required to be on GPS, what they may do is they may elect to take somebody off of GPS who is, doing the right things, is in compliance with their sanctions, and hasn't had any more issues since. So what they do is look at the people that are on the sanctions and remove somebody off and put on somebody else who needs to have it on. So it is possible to have a change, and I don't think he would be on for the maximum 60 days that I know was determined, but especially the way things going, like I said, he told me we're never going to have another problem with him, and I believe that. Like I said, the first couple of times, I'm not sure what happened, but after I think the GPS device went on and he actually had talked to the office supervisor, I think that, like I said, they made some suggestions to him to maybe keep better track on your calendar of how to, call task every morning, or if you have to mark task on your calendar every day, and then physically scratch off task after you call. That way you're sure you don't miss it. But to answer your question, it's probably, it can come off earlier than 60 days if approved by my supervisor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me see if the board has any questions. No questions from the board. Well, thank you, sir. If you'd like, you can stay on for the rest of the hearing, or if you have other things you need to do, feel free to go back to, do the business.
I'll stay on the phone, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Nandi.
Yes, sir.
You're in the spotlight again.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, we are there at the end of the hearing. Before we go into the discussion to make determination, we'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you wish. Anything else you want to tell us? Now being the time.
No, sir. I think everything that needed to be said has been said. I just consider myself a good candidate for this, and I don't like letting people down, especially myself. So I definitely wouldn't let this esteeming board down after what they have done for me in the last year or so. Thank you.
Okay. Right, where's
So I just had to say, how'd you guys come up with that AIDS disruption? I was just trying to.
Well, AARP, they deal with the elderly, and Mike Payton, being 71 years old, has hiked some of the toughest trails in the world. The Israeli Trail, he hiked trails in Peru and all over. Me being from the military, hiking is something, and it has to do with supplements and stuff, that how we eat and how we treat ourselves. And most people just think that when you get a certain age, there's only certain things that you can do when you get a certain age. So at age disrupting, we're going to disrupt that, because what he's doing, a lot of people 25, 30, 35 can't do.
Okay. All right, I was just trying to get
70 is the new
40. 70. Yes. That's how we. And I'll be doing Medicare this year.
Okay. All right. Well, the board is going to go into discussion now. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. Just sit there, remain silent. We promise not to call you any bad names.
Thank you.
When we're done with our discussion, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board is now in discussion.
Mr. Nodman, a very interesting gentleman. You know, I had spent the crew and then come out and he'd be out. I mean, it's a tough job. It was a really tough job. And we have actually done really, really well. The hiccups, as you call them, are I'm close to the same age, and forgetfulness creeps in. But I can also understand when you have to do something every day. It's not a huge thing, but it's something you have to do every day, and after a while, you get to the point where I can see where you can I do that? You know, and I'm sure that I've done that with my coffee. I have to get it ready every night, most of the time. So, in talking to Officer Pope about the missed UAs and the sanctions, he missed the UAs, but his PO had no reason to suspect it was because of his ability, and he took next day UAs and came out clean. So that lends a lot of credence to the absent-mindedness, you know, just forgot, did whatever. He only has 3 months left. Anyway. But with all things considered, even though he did get sanctioned and got an ankle bracelet on right now, it wasn't because he was out doing criminal activities and he wasn't doing a bunch of stuff that was against the rules, not really serious, but it is against the rules, you gotta follow the rules. The time that he spent in prison and the progress he's made since he's been out and the work he is doing for very minimal wages seems to be benefiting the other inmates as they get out and they try to transition back into the community. And I can see where somebody that spends as much time in prison as he did would be the last thing you want to do is be around the inmates and stuff, you know, get away from this, make myself better, and I'll be in a bad influence way. And he's done just the opposite, which we always commend people for helping the other inmates, because the recidivism is terrible, and then we'd like to eliminate it. It'd be nice to eliminate it completely. At this point in time, I would be in favor of giving Mr. Nagy at this time an absolute discharge. But I'm going to raise some discussion from my fellow board members.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo. So we're definitely in the people business, and even though I recognize that, you know, Mr. Nagy's only been out less than a year. And in general, we don't consider taking anyone off of even home arrest until they've been out for a year. But we're in the people business, and not everybody's the same. And I certainly don't see Mr. Nagy as your typical inmate. So I would be in favor of that.
Mr. Johnson?
I agree with, I'm taking Mr. Nagy for his word that he's going to make sure he take care of this delinquent fee that he has in there.
Mr. Knoll?
I'll just say that it can be conservative when it comes to watching someone's development in their transition, but I will certainly support my peers in this case. I think he's pretty exceptional and he's been recognized. I think there's a certain amount of good faith in sort of a wait and see, but I think he's also, I don't know, if someone trying to get their PhD in 1 year, you know, and pulling it off. So I'm open.
Dr. Wright.
Thank you. That's, I'm probably a little more conservative on things than most, because, you know, he's just, I mean, he's been at this, Rittenhouse stated that he's been out less than a year, and that's really pushing the envelope, and I'm the youngest with you, and that's just, I know he's doing an outstanding job. No one is perfect, but I would have liked to have seen him being out at least a year before. Well, I'm absolute discharge, I'll just be honest with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I think the date is, well, I don't know. It was granted in January 2018. I don't know how close it was released.
April 2nd.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it can be, it's a long time, sometimes it's not so long. Well, that issue has crossed my mind too, but I'm also looking at the aspect here. 31 months. And he's finished his sentence anyway. With his, actually, his outstanding record, since he got to the I just don't really see him in the world doing the justice or anything really coming in that 3 months if he was granted an absolute discharge at this time. So, and based on a conversation we've had, I think we're going to make a motion in regards to this new card.
Yes, sir.
Not to move up. ABC number 039674. I am going to move to grant Mr. Najee absolute discharge at this time and neither parole or arrest.
Second.
Agree. The reason I stated earlier, I'm going to disagree with this. Simply not because he's not doing a great job, but just a time and rate, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Like those are not, it's the time and rate concerns me.
Yes, sir. Off your sentence, but 3 months is 3 months, and we really, really, really do appreciate what you've done with yourself and what you're doing for the community of ex-cons. I don't know the best terminology, but for the offenders that are coming out, you're doing a great job. It's a great service to the community. And a great service to them as individuals, and I believe from what your co-workers have said and everything, it reflects on you greatly too. So,
sir, thank you, and it reflects on you also, because a lot of what I've done is because of the opportunities you gave me. When you allowed me to go from house arrest to regular parole, I was able to do more. And now that I'm having told you, I'll be able to do even more now. So, a lot of people, especially on the inside, something else that I'm mentoring people on, they have a tendency to have this supposition about what the parole board and all is about. And you listened, you discerned, and you made decisions based on intellect and heart. And that's very important. So I thank all of you very much. Very much.
Okay, well, this is when you're hearing him. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.